Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is migrating from JRuels to WebSphere Operational Decision Management, or WODM. Today's presenter is Laurent de Clermont-Tonnerre. Laurent has supported the BRMS and WODM products for 9 years, first as part of iLog product expert team, then as part of the IBM Level 2 support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Laurent. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining again. I will, like David said, I will present you today information on migrating from JRuels to Operational Decision Manager, or ODM, as we last call it in the last version of the product. I will, in slide number two, I will want to go over the agenda of today. Thank you, David. I will first introduce the migration to just bring up a few points that I find good to bring up in the first place before we go into the migration steps, which first will lead us to take care of the root model extensions, the metadata of the roles. Then we will talk about the authoring and role management extensions that are applied essentially on Role Decision Center. Then once this is done, we can migrate the Eclipse projects, which are essentially the role projects that you will migrate in Eclipse. And then we will talk about the ODM applications, which are actually the G2E modules that we provide, Decision Center, Rule Execution Server. And once this is done, we can migrate the data that is stored in database. And then, last but not least, we will talk about migrating your client applications. So in slide number three, like I said, I want to give an introduction on migration. So first things first, the migration means moving to a more recent version of the product. This allows you to benefit from new features and also from fixes that are already available for existing bugs. So the product is the presentation is called migrating from JRuels to ODM, but most steps that we will be talking here are valid for migration across versions 7 and 8. And we will actually go back to JRuel version 6 for those of you that are still using that version to say that you will first need to migrate to JRuel 7.1.1. And I will also bring up some specific steps to follow in that case. I also want to make a point that applying a modification or fix pack does not require migration of your code nor your data. So we don't call that a migration. Those allow you to benefit from fixes only, new fixes, and essentially you just have to redeploy the ODM application, the modules that we will talk about, and you need to repackage your application with the new libraries. So I will go over those steps, but I wanted to make that point now. And first of all, of course, before you migrate, you do need to verify that your configuration is still supported by the new version of the product that you will be using. So for that, you can go online and refer to our system requirements that list all the application server versions, databases, etc., that are supported for each version of the product. So you will need to refer to the version that you are about to install and migrate to. So in slide number four, I will dive into my first migration step. So first things first, we will talk about the role model extensions. So those are the metadata of the roles. So they allow you to essentially add properties to your roles, either for the purpose of, you know, role management lifecycle or for to use at runtime. You can also, you know, set some initial values and things like that on those properties or on the existing ones. So the first step to migrate your rule model extensions, which, by the way, is a step you only need to do if you actually have modified the rule model in the previous version that you've been using. This only required in that case. Otherwise, you can just go ahead and use the default extensions. For that, you will create new extension files in Rule Designer, the rule designer of the new version of rule designer that you have installed, and you will re-enter the same extensions that you had used before. You do not reuse the existing files that you have and that you may still have at hand. You will create a new file in the new version and reapply the new extensions on it. So in slide number 5, the next step, of course, after creating those files is to apply those extensions in Rule Designer and Decision Center. Of course, you need to do that before you migrate the data for those property values to be fully populated. So for Rule Designer, this will be done in the preferences of the workspace. And this will be a new workspace that you will create to migrate your core projects. We will talk about that later. But this is where you're going to be doing, you're going to be setting your extensions in Rule Designer, just similarly to what you've done in the first place in the current version you are using. So in slide number 6, this is for Decision Center. Those same extension files will be used to set the extension on the server side on your Rule project deployed to Decision Center, if any. And for that, you will use a set extension and task, or you will simply log on to Decision Center and set those files using the installation setting wizard. Of course, that step is done after you have migrated Decision Center. We will talk about that later, but I just want to let you know that you should keep those files handy for the next steps of the migration. So in slide number 7, we're going to move to another type of extensions, which are the authoring and rule management extensions. Those are essentially for the authoring tools that we have, Rule Designer and Decision Center. So, of course, this step is only required if you have actually created such extensions in the previous version. In Rule Designer, those are Eclipse plugins. And for Decision Center, those are essentially jar files with property files that you package into the Decision Center application. So to migrate those, you simply import your plugin projects into a new workspace using the new Rule Designer that you have, you rebuild, and you fix any deprecation warnings. If you're migrating across several versions, you may have some errors, but just like the warnings, you will need to fix those to match the new API that is available to you for customizations. Once this is done, you need to reapply those extensions on the new modules, on the new Decision Center for Archive, or on the new Rule Designer, and you can just follow the documentation to do that. You will pretty much follow the same step that you have followed in the first place to install those extensions on the current version that you have. I just want to mention regarding Decision Center, the new business console that is available starting in version 7.5 is a subset of functionalities of what is called now the Enterprise Console, and which is equivalent of the Rule Team Server of JRules. So it's a subset that only supports a subset of customizations. In the case of authoring extensions, it only supports a value editor. We have a sample for that. But again, all your previous extensions are going to be valid and migrated to the new Rule Team Server, which is now called Decision Center Enterprise Console. So in slide number 8, now that we have migrated our extensions and we have our model extensions files ready, we can move to migrating or Eclipse projects. Those are essentially rule projects that we have, where we have rules, where we have our BOM, and eventually some Java projects, which are our XAMM classes. So first of all, we need to ensure Rule Designer has sufficient memory. So we can allocate that memory given to the Eclipse instance inside the eclipse.ini, which if you're using the out-of-the-box Rule Designer provided by the installer, which is under the root directory /odm/eclipse.ini. You will change there the default 512 megabytes to the recommended 1024. And then you just need to make that in case you have large projects to make sure that role designer can handle the load. And eventually more depending on your configuration and the size of your projects. So like I said, the migration is just about importing those projects into a new workspace using the new version of role designer, rebuild, and then you're pretty much done for what it is of the role projects on the Eclipse side. Slide number 9, I will just mention one point. If you're migrating from JRules, meaning JRule 7.1, you do want to publish additional resources along with your role projects to Decision Center, we have a new feature that is available and that requires you to have a resource folder set in your role project. So because you're migrating from a version that didn't provide such feature, you will need to manually create that folder and set it as a resource folder inside the role project properties, as shown in this screenshot. When this is done, any file you're going to drop into that folder can be synchronized, published to Decision Center along with your project, and can be also versioned on the server side. You might find this useful, for example, for if you're using our testing facility, DBS, you will be able to publish there some Excel input files that you may want to have your user access from their browser to download, to modify, in order to create their own testing suites. So in slide number 10, we're now moving to what I refer to as ODM applications. Those are essentially our J2E modules that we provide, Decision Center Console, Role Execution Center Console, Execution Unit, those and SSP as well as Transparent Decision Service. Those are, if you use those needs to be also updated to the new version. Before you deploy those to the server, you first need to apply the same changes to the descriptors that you had performed on the previous versions. So for Decision Center, that would be any additional roles that you want to use in Decision Center, and for, in general, any custom setting that you have set in the descriptors of those modules. So the behavior of the execution unit, the timeout on Decision Center, you will just apply the same changes to the new modules made available to you by the new installer. When this is done, you will simply redeploy those modules to the server following the same installation documentation that you had followed in the first place to deploy those modules in the previous version. In slide number 11, now that we have deployed our modules, we have applied our extensions, we are ready to migrate the data that is stored in database. For Decision Centers, we have role projects deployed to the server and stored in database. For Role Execution Server, we do have role apps deployed to the database, deployed to the server. And you also may have some Decision Warehouse trace that you would want to carry on to the new version. So in the next slide, number 12, we will first start with the Decision Center projects. The first step of that migration is to create a new schema on the same database where the old schema is residing. The picture here gives you a good overview of what that means. So we do have the Decision Center console deployed, the new version, version 8 in this case, deployed to the application server. This Decision Center is associated with a data source, of course, which we have updated to point to the new schema now. But the old schema resides on the same database. So here the data source points at that database and at the new schema, which is currently empty. So in slide number 13, when this is done, we will need to create the table on the new schema. So for that, you will log into Decision Center, and because the schema is empty, the new schema is empty, you will be prompted for the installation setting wizard. So this looks familiar, going back to the rule model extensions. One of the first steps asks you if you do want to set rule model extensions. This is where you're going to get your files that you have already prepared, set those here, or just choose to use the default extensions and create the tables. I do want to add just that if you do want to upgrade your database, you will do that before you do all this migration or after. It's just a different step, and you need to just keep those two schemas together, the old one and the new one, to perform the migration. And if you prefer to do the upgrade of your database version or provider, change provider, you will do that before or after all those steps. So in slide number 14, the next step, once we have a new schema with the new tables, either with custom extensions or default extensions, and we still have this old schema with your projects on the same database, we're ready to migrate. So the migration consists of two steps. We have two end tasks that are provided to you called gen migration role and gen migration script. The first one, essentially, they both generate for you an SQL file to run after on the database. The first one, essentially, will grant privileges to your database user to access the old schema. You have a new schema. You are probably a new user associated to that schema. This user, as specified in the documentation, is given access to the schema it's going to be looking at, so to read the tables and insert value in those tables. But for the purpose of the migration, you also need that user to access the old schema. So because of privileges restrictions, this will probably require for you to grant that user additional privileges that are not there by default. So that first end task generates a script that you can just run after that to grant that user those privileges. This needs to be done first, because the next schema, gen migration script, again here, XY refers to the version you're migrating from. So gen migration 7.1 script would be the one you run if migrating from GRL 7.1 to the new version of ODM. Again, this script generates an SQL file, which this time will contain all the SQL queries and statements to move the data from the old schema to the new schema. So of course, here you have to, just to create that schema, you do need to read the tables in both schemas. So you do need to run the previous end task first and grant your database user those roles, because those two end tasks are run through the data source, so they are run with the credentials provided by the user that you have set in the decision center data source. Like I said, those two end tasks require the following parameters. You are going through decision center, so you're pointing at the server URL of decision center on that new server, on that new version. You are specifying the data source name of decision center. Like I said, you're going to be running those queries through the user defined in your data source, so you do need to grant that user privileges. That new data source points at the new schema, but because you're migrating from the old schema, you do need to mention the name of the old schema. Here is just the name of the old schema, because again, it is within the same data source, so all the connection properties are the same as the data source that you have set up for the new schema, but you just need to set to give a name for the old schema. Then, in both cases, you also are to specify a file name, which is a resulting SQL script file that is generated by those two end tasks. Other properties are set and can be set in the team end task properties file that is available to you, so you don't have to write, again, all those properties parameters into the command line. In slide number 15, I will give you an example of one of those tasks. Here we're going to be running the gen migration 7.5 script. So I'm specifying the old database schema that I call my old user. My old schema is called RTS 7.1. Here to be consistent, I would have run the migration 7.1 script because if I'm migrating from 7.1, so there is a little discrepancy here. But the output file needs to be specified. This is, I call it migration.sql. And other parameters are specified into my team server and task property file, and those are printed here in the output of the end task. So the server URL, data source name, which is the default, and my username and password, this is the admin user for Decision Center. Like I said, this results into the generation of an SQL file. This is not actually doing the migration, so you do need after that to run the SQL script against the database. You can do that using our execute schema and task, which takes as an input the migration file that you just created, the SQL script you just created, as well as the same parameters that we have, server URL, data source names, etc. Alternatively, you may want to provide that generated script to your DBA for them to run it through their own tools. And of course, you know, the gen migration script needs to be run after you have already run the other script that I mentioned before, gen migration role. So in slide number 16, I want to bring up some troubleshooting here. Migration of the Decision Center data is essentially where we need to spend a little more time. This is where there may be some mishaps, but everything else is pretty much smooth, and if you follow those instructions, the migration of the Decision Center project should be also straightforward. But to bring up a few issues that you may encounter, one example is when running the gen migration script and task. So this is to create an SQL script that will perform the migration. You could get exceptions such as SQL exception, table of view does not exist. So possible causes are that the old or the new schema name is incorrect. So you need to make sure that the old schema name is the right one because it needs to find the old tables with your data in it. So if it doesn't find the tables of Decision Center or Routine Server, it will say that those are not found. And the new schema, of course, needs to be found with the tables of the new schema because it does need to identify the tables on both sides to generate the script on the fly that will move the data over to the new tables. And of course, you do need to have permissions on both schemas, the new one as well as the old one, so you can read those tables and generate the script based on that. The solution here is to adjust your end task parameters so they are correct and to make sure that you have given permissions to your database user using the gen migration role script that I mentioned before. So in slide number 17, speaking of that gen migration role script, once you run the SQL script that it generates using our execute schema and task, you may get an error saying that you have insufficient privileges. Again, if you're running our end task, you're running those end tasks against Decision Center, which means through the data source of Decision Center. So that means that your user, the privileges of the user defined in the data source will be used. And in this case, you're trying to grant roles to that same user, you grant privileges to that same user, and you are likely not to have the privileges to do that. To create a role in a database is probably restricted to some admin users. So you do need, as a solution here, you do need to probably provide that SQL script to your DBA for them to run it on their side rather than run it with our execute schema tool. Again, it depends on your settings. it depends on your policies, internal policies, but like I said, you may have to provide the generated scripts to your DBA for them to run through their own tools with an administrator user. In slide number 18, I want to bring up another possibility of issue. So this is once you log into Decision Center console after the migration is done. Some of those errors could actually occur whether or not you've been migrating. So this is a more general troubleshooting case. But if opening Decision Center console, you do expect to see the homepage and see your projects that you just migrated. But if you do see errors such as table of view does not exist when you open the browser, or it could also lead to a diagnostic of Decision Center fail on the database schema version with an error saying expected JRules 8.0, found JRules 7.5, or you may have some invalid identifier error in the browser. We've seen that in the past. Or you simply may be prompted the installation setting wizard instead of the home page. So we've seen those behavior before. On slide number 19, I want to bring up some of the possible causes. So essentially, this will be that the data source does not point at the schema, the new schema containing the new tables. So that's pretty much one of the obvious reasons why you're not seeing your projects, or that the database user defined in the data source doesn't have the privileges on that schema. So solutions here that could be valid for any case. Make sure that your data source points at the new schema containing the new tables. Make sure that database user defined in data source has the required permissions to access the schema. Those permissions are listed in the documentation. And of course, in the case of migration, you need to ensure that the migration scripts were run successfully on the right schema. So again, some of those issues could occur regardless of the fact that you just migrated. So I just wanted to bring them up here. They could occur after migration. So in slide number 20, we're now moving to the rule execution server data. So this is essentially rule apps that you have deployed in the previous version to the server, to the rule execution server console. So here, no rule app migration is required between the version 7 and 8. Across version 7 and 8, so the database can be reused. If you're coming from version 7.1, from JRule 7.1, and you do want to use a new manage exam feature, which allow you to deploy along with your rollup, deploy eventually Java classes that are used as exam of your rule set to parse it, you will need to extend the existing database because this feature doesn't exist in JRules. Has been introduced in version 7.5. So for that, you will need to run a script to add tables to define the XAMPP repository to store those Java classes on the server side. So this can be done with a script that is provided to you, or you can just, by opening rule execution server console the first time, you will be prompted the installation setting wizard to run that script. So either way, you will just update the existing database and be able to use your rollups that were deployed before. In slide number 21, I just want to mention for those of you that are migrating from JRule 6, again, this migration needs to be done to 7.1 first, but this additional step needs to be done in that case because there were some changes between 6 and 7. In regard to the schema of the rule execution server. So you will need to export all the rule apps that you have created in version 6. You will do that before you migrate the rule execution server console. So you will do that using the resfetch-all and resfetch-and-task that we provide, or simply by opening the version 6 console, go to the server info tab and do a backup rollups. So this will done on all the rollout, you keep those on the side. Then in slide number 22, we first at that point need to create a new tables in a new schema. This is required, so for only migrating from version 6. So similarly to Decision Center, we have in this case SQL script provided to you, or similarly to Decision Center, you are prompted an installation setting wizard to create those tables. In slide number 23, our next step, once the migration of the rule execution server console has been done, you have redeployed your REST execution console to the server. Now you can go log into it. You have created the tables, and you go back to the server info tab as well, and you will use the restore rollups button. And you can alternatively use our REST deploy and task to do the same job, to upload all the rollups that you had in the previous version, that is version 6, because again, this step is only required if you're moving from Jira's version 6. In slide number 24, this step is only required if you have decision warehouse trait that you do wish to carry over to the new version. Here again, the database can be reused, but it eventually requires to run a script on the existing schema. So if you're migrating for version 7.0, there is some changes, so you have a script available to you in the installation directories, migrate trace from 7.0. If you're migrating to version 8, you have another script from WODM 7.5 to run. And once this is done, you have your decision warehouse available in the rule execution server console, and you are ready to add more trace to that history. On slide number 25, last but not least, we are migrating now your client applications. So those are client code that you have written to access rule execution server, to execute rules deployed on rule execution server, or to access your projects in Decision Center. So those pieces of code needs to be rebuilt using the new product libraries that we provide in the new installation directory that you have for the new version. You do fix any deprecation warnings. Again, you may get errors if you're migrating across several versions, but you need to fix those warnings and errors to match the new API that is available to you for those client applications. Once this is done, you repackage your new classes, your up-to-date classes, along with the new libraries of the product into your application, and then you can redeploy your application. This is pretty much it for your client applications. So in slide number 26, I pretty much want to go over what we've talked about. We are pretty much done with all the elements that you need to migrate when using JRules and moving to ODM. So you do need to consider everything that needs to be migrated. Again, some of the modules you may not be using, some of the features you may not be using, so you may not need all those steps, but this covers all the steps you need, and you need to pretty much go through the checklist to know which ones you need to perform and the order in which you need to perform them, which this presentation also explained. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, you do need to verify that your configuration is still supported with the new version, your application server version, your database version, so you may need to upgrade those prior to do the migration. This is something to keep in mind. Of course, we do recommend to keep your configuration up to date once you have a new version. Plan fixed pack installations on a regular basis. Again, those do not require to migrate again, that you don't need to touch your data or your code. You will simply need to update the client libraries and redeploy the ODM applications, Rule Decision Center, Rule Execution Server consoles, So again, those are a couple of steps that we have listed in this presentation, but this is all you need in the case of modification or fix packs application. Those just provide you bug fixes and do not affect the functionality of the product. And last but not least, we highly recommend to keep all modules at the same version and fix pack level. Not doing so could generate unexpected behaviors. So of course you need to migrate everything at the same time and keep everything at the same level. You may have in some cases, you know, some discrepancies of fix pack level based on your internal processes. But if an error was to occur, we will recommend that you perform that update to have all modules at the same fix pack level. Now, in slide number 27, I just want to provide you, before I answer questions, I just want to provide you a few links that I find useful. First, a blog entry that I wrote on this subject, migrating from Jeryls to WODM, or ODM, which is the latest naming of the product. So it essentially redirects you to a tech note that is written on the subject and that covers pretty much all the topics that we've talked about in this presentation. Other tech notes that you might find useful is our ODM download document. It contains all the links to all the versions as well as fix packs available for you to download. This is a good bookmark to have on your site to keep your configuration up to date. Another tech note that is useful is guidance on installing the product, because you know things are different after Jeryls, so the installer is different, and you may need some guidance doing so. And finally, I have a tech note here to just a few tips to find the versions of the components that you have currently installed. So it's good, like I said, to make sure you have all your modules at the same fixed pack level and version, of course, but also to make sure that you have migrated everything properly once you are done. Of course, I'm pointing at the documentation. The latest one we have is 8.0.1. It does provide some additional information on migration, so I refer you to that as well. And of course, it does provide all the details and the new features available in that version. And finally, going back to the system requirements, you can see online available all the list of supported platforms, application server, databases, etc., that are supported for each version that you will be migrating to. So keep that in mind. Those are all good bookmarks to have on your site. In slide number 28, we want to leave you with some additional resources that we provide for you. And for the next slide, I will let David take over before we open the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lawrence, for a great presentation. Before we get to, and finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial *1. If you need to withdraw your question once in queue, you may dial *2. Again, please dial *1 for questions. One moment, sir. There are no questions at this time, sir.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site by early next week. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Laurent, for presenting today.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you.